This is Brother Gino Cassieri. Once again, it's time for the Pastor's Study, and it's a real blessing to be with each and every one of you today on the Pastor's Study. We've been studying about the tribulation. I've been doing a series of studies entitled Things to Come. In other words, we've been looking at the next prophetic events that are going to happen on God's calendar. And of course, for several weeks, we've been focusing in on the tribulation period. And I have some brief comments or some things that I want to finish up with the tribulation. And after that, we'll move right into the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But before we begin, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we consider a privilege and an honor to be on the Pastor's Study today, and we thank you for your words that you preserved in this King James Bible. We thank you for the saints of God that have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and we pray the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and guide today as we open up and study this important topic on the tribulation. Father, I pray as your word goes forth, that it would not return void. I pray that you'd use your word. Use me today for your honor and your glory. And we pray for the saints of God that are listening today, those that are already saved, that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that know 100% sure when they die they're going to heaven because they're trusting in His shed blood and nothing else to save them. We pray that you would edify, lift up, encourage the saint of God today through thy words. And Father, let us not forget the poor soul, lost soul that may be listening today, that cannot say emphatically 100% sure that when they die to go to heaven, that they've never trusted Jesus Christ's shed blood for the payment of each and every one of their sins, past, present, and future, and secure a home in heaven. We pray this would be the very day for that lost souls of souls, that they'd call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and would be saved. Father, we want to thank you, and we praise your holy name, and we ask all of these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what we started to look at last time was we were comparing some of the events that took place while the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt in the book of Exodus, and we were comparing them with the events to occur in the future during the tribulation. So that's where I want to pick up and finish off that portion of our study on the tribulation. Now, God sent some awful darkness in the land of Egypt there in the book of Exodus chapter 10. When the children of Egypt were in bondage to Egypt and to Pharaoh. So let's turn first with me to Exodus chapter 10 and verses 21 to 23. This is one of the plagues that God sent upon Egypt and Pharaoh. And we read, beginning in verse 21 of Exodus 10, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither arose any from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." Now, let's compare that to what we find in the future that's going to take place during the tribulation. I want us first to turn to Isaiah chapter 60 together. Isaiah chapter 60, and let's look at verse 2. Isaiah chapter 60 in verse number 2. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And of course, here's Isaiah talking prophetically, amen, of a great darkness. That is, as it says here, that's going to cover the earth, amen, is going to cover the earth. Now, let's turn also to Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. And let's see what it has to say in Revelation 16, which is talking about the tribulation. The Apostle John is, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 6, verse number 10, we read, "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." So just as we saw there was an awful darkness in the land of Egypt, amen, and of course Egypt is a picture or type of the world, we're going to see also in the tribulation there's going to be an awful darkness to cover the earth, amen, and the kingdom of the beast. Let's look, just as Pharaoh, let's look at another point now, just as Pharaoh harden his heart, so will the enemies of the Jews harden their heart against the Jews in the tribulation. So just as Pharaoh hardened his heart against the Jews there in the book of Exodus, while the Jews were in bondage in Egypt, so will the enemies of the Jews in the tribulation do the same thing. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 9 with me, and let's look at verse 20 to 21. "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the work of their hands, that they should not worship devils, in idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts." So we see then that the enemies of the Jews are going to harden their hearts as Pharaoh did. Now, we also want to see that death will consume multitudes during the tribulation, just as it did there in the book of Exodus. Amen. Look at Exodus chapter 12 with me. Exodus chapter 12. In Exodus chapter 12, in verses 29 and 30, we read the following. "And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, and he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead." Now let's turn and read what it has to say about the future that we're going to see, just as death consumed a multitude there in the book of Exodus. Also, we're going to see that happen during the tribulation. Let's first look at Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9 with me. In Revelation chapter number 9, verse 15, "And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month, in a year, for to slay," here it is, "the third part of men." So a third of the population of the earth will be killed. Looking in Revelation 16, chapter number 3. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. So we see then, just as death consumed a multitude there in the book of Exodus, when Israel was in bondage to Egypt, we also see that a great multitude will also be consumed by death during the tribulation. Now, let's compare again. Well, I got some other things we want to look at. Israel will be delivered. Just as Israel was delivered from Egypt, out of bondage there in Exodus, the same thing is going to happen with Israel during the tribulation. Let's first turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 14, verse 26 to 30. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea in the waters, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. Amen. So we see that the dead bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the shores of where the nation of Israel had crossed safely to the other side. Now, let's see what's going to happen in the tribulation. First, we need to turn to the prophet Zechariah in chapter 14 with me. Zechariah 14. And in Zechariah 14, we want to look at verses 1 through 4. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And now, Romans 11 with me. Romans chapter 11, verse number 26. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. So we see then, just as Israel was delivered from Pharaoh and the Egyptians, so during the tribulation, Israel will be saved, will be delivered, amen, from its enemies. Now, just as the Lord fed the children of Israel in the wilderness during the Exodus, so will they go into the wilderness and be fed of God in the tribulation. Look with me, if you would. We want to look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter number 12 with me in verse number 6. And the woman, that's Israel, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. So just as the Lord fed the children of Israel in the wilderness during the Exodus, he will do the same thing in the tribulation. Also, Israel's enemies will blaspheme God, just as they did in Exodus when Israel was in bondage in Egypt. So the same thing will happen. Israel's enemies will blaspheme God during the tribulation. First, Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. In Exodus chapter 5, look with me at verse number 2. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." See? He was blaspheming God. You know, who is this God? Why should I obey him? I know not the Lord that you're talking about, and I'm not going to let Israel go. Look what's going to happen in the tribulation in Revelation chapter 16, verse 11. Revelation chapter 16, verse number 11. "And blaspheme the God of heaven because of her of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds." See, this is when a great darkness will fill the earth, will fill the kingdom of the beast. Amen. And they'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and then they'll blaspheme God. Amen. Also, we want to see God in the Exodus delivers the children of Israel through the Red Sea. What's interesting, we'll see in just a moment, God in the tribulation will deliver the children of Israel from a flood. In both cases, we want to see God's deliverance of evil of Israel, God's deliverance of Israel from water. Amen. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, verses 15 and 16. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, while the dragon cast out of his mouth. So just as God in Exodus delivers the children of Israel through the Red Sea, God in the tribulation will deliver the children of Israel from a flood. What we want to see is Pharaoh is a picture or a type of the Antichrist. Amen. Who's going to go after and try to destroy. Just as Pharaoh, he's a picture of the type of the Antichrist. And in both cases, Pharaoh and the Antichrist, of course, the Antichrist is future in the tribulation. But just as Pharaoh tried to destroy the nation of Israel during the Exodus, when they were in bondage down in Egypt before the Exodus, so the Antichrist is going to try to do the same thing in the tribulation. Another thing we want to see, after Pharaoh finally lets the children of Israel go, then he goes after them to destroy them and is destroyed. And we saw this earlier in Exodus. Let's turn back there. Exodus chapter 14. Exodus chapter 14, verse 23. "And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen." And we'll see during the tribulation, after Israel is delivered from the flood we just talked about, the Antichrist goes after them and tries to destroy the children of Israel. And what happens? He is destroyed. Amen. Let's look first in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, we read, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman." Again, the woman is Israel. "And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." So here we see the dragon is angry with Israel, and he goes after them. But what happens? Just as Pharaoh and his army is destroyed, look what happens to the beast. In Revelation 19:20, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet," so we see the beast, the Antichrist, "was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image." Here it is, folks. "These both," the Antichrist, the false prophet, "these both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Wow. Praise God and hallelujah for that. So, those are some things that we see that we compare with the Exodus, Egypt down in bondage to Egypt there in the book of Exodus, comparing the things similar that will take place future in the tribulation. So that ends our study on the tribulation period. And again, if you would like part of these studies or all of them, this prophetic study on things to come, you'll get an address at the end of the broadcast where to write me and request it. Now we want to turn our attention and begin another area of things to come, another prophetic event after the tribulation occurs. Then we have the second coming of Christ. And no words are adequate for the introduction of the second coming of Christ to the earth. This, no doubt, one of the greatest events on God's calendar. My friends, there is no song, no poem, no news article available that can describe the glory and power of that day. As we approach this subject, keep in mind that the church was raptured. We saw the church was raptured 7 years earlier. And now with the second coming of Christ, this is the close of the tribulation. And really, the second coming is the bridge between the tribulation and the millennium. The second coming is what takes the worst of times to one of the best of times. You see, the second coming is when Jesus will personally come to this earth the second time. And he will not come to be denied and crucified, but he'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. With this in mind, let us study the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our first point I call is the drum roll. You see, in our world today, when a great personality is about to come on the scene, he is preceded by a drum roll. And what this does, this builds the anticipation of the audience as they eagerly await the appearance of their star. My friends, just before the greatest person steps onto the world stage, he is preceded by more than just a drum roll. For example, let's turn to Matthew 24. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heavens, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Talk about a drum roll. Amen. It's going to happen immediately after the tribulation, at the second coming of Christ. Looking in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 with me. And in Luke 21, let us look together at verses 25 and 26. And we read, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." So we see there is no doubt. There is no doubt that all this activity in the sky will have caused much attention to be focused there. So we see, just preceding, immediately after the tribulation, we're going to see these cosmic events take place in the sky concerning the heavens, the moon, the stars, amen, the planets. And what it's going to cause people to do is their focus, amen, is going to be heavenward. And they're going to see, physically see, the Lord Jesus Christ return physically to earth. And that's his drum roll. But of course, it's more than a drum roll. All these things are going to happen in the heavens when he appears after this 7-year period of tribulation. Amen. And as we go, we're just about out of time today, but we're going to talk some more about the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord. And, you know, as Christians, in fact, we'll see as Christians, as a church, we'll be coming back with the Lord. Amen. We will be with him. We will join him. Amen. So, you know, praise the Lord, as Christians, we have a wonderful future ahead of us, do we not? You know, maybe things that are maybe not going that great in your life, amen? But you know what, as Paul said, don't focus on the things that are seen. And the reason for that is because they're just temporary. We need to focus on the things that are not seen, because those things are eternal. Well, that's all the time we have on the Pastor's Study today. This is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me for the Pastor's Study. And until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.